God damn the Trump MAGA fascists, everyone. And God damn everyone who tells us to get along and play nice with these fascists.
Welcome to the RNL, the Revolution Nothing Less show. My name is Sansara Taylor, and I'm joined today by Annie Day. Welcome, Annie.
Thank you. Very glad to be here, and welcome to everyone tuning in. This show is about a revolution, a real revolution, to overthrow this whole monstrous and illegitimate system of capitalism imperialism, a system that has given rise to a fascist regime, openly woman-hating, white supremacist, immigrant-bashing nightmare that is now coming to power within weeks, a system whose mainstream non-fascist rulers, the Democrats and the rest, are telling us to find common ground with these fascists. No. Bullshit. What's needed urgently is a force taking on this fascism and getting organized to overthrow this whole system that's given rise to this fascism.
And because this is what we are fighting for, a real emancipating revolution that sweeps aside this rotten and illegitimate system of capitalism imperialism and replaces it with a radically different and far better system of real socialism on the road to communism, we are followers of the revolutionary leader Bob Avakian. Who is Bob Avakian? He is someone who has fundamentally and radically reshaped humanity's understanding of what it means and what will be required to truly get all the way free. To bring into being a world where all of humanity has not only their needs met for food, clothing, shelter, healthcare, and other basic requirements of life, but where we are at the same time forging a lively, uplifting culture, unleashing widespread intellectual ferment and debate involving all sections of society and people in all parts of the world, and bringing into being liberating relations among and between the people everywhere. On top of all of that, Bob Avakian is providing real-time strategic leadership for how to advance this revolution right here in the belly of the most powerful and destructive empire in the world. Right in this time.
In today's show, we're going to hear directly from Bob Avakian about why we need emancipation and revolution for real, not revenge. This is a dividing line question all the time, and it's especially relevant in light of the response to the assassination of the United Healthcare CEO. We're going to talk about the campaign to get Bob Avakian's leadership and voice reaching millions of people through the campaign to get his social media out in society in a major way and raise funds to do so. And we're going to hear from a heroic doctor who was on the ground in Gaza trying desperately to save people who've been victimized and brutalized by the U.S.-backed Israeli genocide of the Palestinian people.
But first, we want to return to Bob Avakian's special holiday message, Revolution number 107. You heard the opening of this message right at the start of today's episode. And this message is in direct contrast to the constant drivel coming from Democratic politicians, pundits, and others who are insisting, like the UPenn professor and author Jonathan Zimmerman did in a recent column at The Hill, that we should be trying to understand Trump voters. He wrote, quote, "Trump voters are our neighbors and our coworkers. They're the barista at your local coffee shop, the mail carrier on your block, and the guy sitting next to you on the bus. Most of all, they are your fellow Americans. You need to understand them, especially if, you are baffled or offended by their politics." End quote. Hell f***ing no. Here's Bob Avakian.
God damn the Trump MAGA fascists, everyone. And goddamn everyone who tells us to get along and play nice with these fascists. With people who support Trump, nothing good can come from trying to understand them on their own terms. No matter who they are, and no matter what reason or rationalization they give for doing so, they are supporting fascism with everything that means. In a number of previous messages, most recently in message number 105, I have laid out very clearly what it means, the very real horror of this fascism, on top of the ongoing horrors perpetrated by this system of capitalism imperialism as a whole. Unless and until people who have supported Trump admit they are wrong and face up to what they have done in supporting MAGA fascism, there can be no principled way to get along with them. And instead, in any involvement with them, they need to be sharply confronted, called out, and firmly held to account for the fascism they have responsibility for supporting and enabling. Once more, this is not a time for demoralization or despair, and it is definitely not a time for completely wrong-headed and extremely harmful attempts to find common ground with fascism and those who support it.
Seriously, people, common ground with this?
Transgenderism must be eradicated from public life entirely.
Hey, bitch, we control your bodies. Guess what? Guys win again, okay? Men win again. And yes, we control your bodies. We will keep you down forever. You will never control your own bodies. Never gonna happen, sweetie. Your body, our choice.
Exactly what part of gleefully enslaving women should we make common ground with? Or how about common ground with this?
No, they're coming from all over the world. They could bring in disease that's going to catch on in our country. They're destroying the blood of our country. That's what they're doing.
On day one, we will terminate every open borders policy of the Biden administration and begin the largest domestic deportation operation in American history.
How could any decent person want to make nice with modern-day Nazis who are openly broadcasting their plans for military roundups in concentration camps? Or what about common ground with this?
Very simply, if you rob a store, you can fully expect to be shot as you are leaving that store. Shot!
You know, if you had one day, like one real rough, nasty day, one rough hour, and I mean real rough, the word will get out and it will end immediately. End immediately.
I mean, I suppose we could rewrite the famous song, the anthem of the civil rights movement, from Which Side Are You On?
Which side are you on? Which side are you on? I want to hear you now.
To Let's Befriend a Lynch Mob. No, no one should be seeking to understand or make nice with people who voted for the Confederacy-loving, racist, genocidally anti-immigrant, pussy-grabbing, woman-hating, climate-destroying, rights-trampling, science-denying, habitually lying fascist Donald Trump. Instead, what is urgently needed is driven home by Bob Avakian.
What is needed is an offensive orientation in challenging this fascism, bold defiance, and a determined refusal to go along with any of this, now and in an ongoing way. And this is a time for righteous anger and revolutionary determination in the face of this fascism and the whole system that has given rise to this fascism, along with all its other atrocities. Atrocities which I have shined a light on through these messages as a whole, and which are analyzed extensively and in depth in the American Crime series at revcom.us. As I have emphasized many times, it is a scientific fact that we do not have to live this way. A radically different and far better world really is possible. This is also spoken to very clearly in the declaration at revcom.us. We need and we demand a whole new way to live, a fundamentally different system.
That's right. Right now, we need righteous anger and revolutionary determination in the face of this fascism, and in the face of the whole system that has given rise to this fascism, along with all its other atrocities. We need this in ways that are directly political, people rising up in protest, demanding, in the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America. And making good on this means fighting for this to take hold and draw forward the millions required to create the level of political crisis in this country that prevents this fascism from getting locked in and consolidated. Right now, we need people stepping up to defend the rights and the lives of those who these fascists are coming after. Immigrants, women seeking abortions, trans people, black people, and more. And right now, we need a society-wide air of utter defiance and righteous contempt towards everyone and everything that is fueling and going along with this fascist. Don't invite your Trump relatives over for the holidays. Don't serve them your coffee. We need a lot of defiance throughout the society, like the 4B women who are declaring no sex with any of the Theo bros and podcast bros or any other bros who voted for Trump. That's right. To the Trump bros, go f*** yourself in every sense of the word. We need more defiance, like the Tesla drivers slapping on bumper stickers to show the world their disgust. We need an atmosphere where instead of demoralization and despair, people are standing up and rejecting this and fighting for a whole different world. And we need to be thinking and acting on a very big stage. There are millions, there are tens of millions who hate and are sickened by everything Trump stands for and by so much of the oppression and injustice that is at the core of this country. It wasn't that long ago, just 2022, that 15 million people flooded the streets of this country against institutionalized white supremacy and police murder and terror. It was even more recently that tens of thousands of furious young women and so many others poured out in the streets against the overturning of abortion rights and the way that reduces women to slaves. This and so much more needs to be reawoken now. And it needs to come into the streets against this fascism, and it needs to be increasingly infused with the scientific truth that we do not have to live this way. The current system is rotten and illegitimate, but a whole better world is possible through a real revolution. You are listening to The Michael Slate Show. We're going to take a short musical break and be right back.
Trying to look past this thing that's between us, wondering when all this anger will fade. The stars look the same from where we are standing. Why can't we fix this mess we've made? Let's not forget that our fates are as one, just because we feel numb and betrayed. There is love, there must be something good, something strong between you and me. There is hope, we must try. If we don't, we'll regret it the rest of our lives, side by side. Forever, you and me, we are stronger together. Hoping to find a path to forgiveness, knowing that pride always gets in.
We're filming at a time of great global upheaval. The regime in Syria has been overthrown, and imperialist jackals are circling over control. We face increasingly heightened danger of nuclear war, with Biden using his waning days to significantly escalate the U.S.'s proxy war with Russia in Ukraine and jockeying against China. In South Korea, a fascist ruler moved to lock in martial law, and within hours, masses of people flooded the streets to prevent this, and the whole society continues to be rocked. As the U.S. continues to fund and back Israel's ongoing genocidal terror in Gaza, Israel is bombing into Syria and, despite a ceasefire, into Lebanon, all while the planet burns with floods, fires, smog, and suffocating heat. These are incredibly volatile times. Driving home what Bob Avakian said,
"We can no longer afford to allow these imperialists to dominate the world and to determine the destiny of humanity. They need to be overthrown as quickly as possible."
With this as a backdrop, we want to share excerpts from a recent program held at Revolution Books in New York, hosted by Alan Goodman, a writer for RevCom.us and a correspondent for this show. This program featured Dr. Adam Hamawi, who volunteered at the European Hospital in Gaza last May. He went heroically as part of an international mission of the Global Surgery Foundation and is working to bring the reality of what's happening in Gaza on the ground to people in this country. After more than a year of Israeli genocidal slaughter in Gaza, 45,614 people are said to have been killed. But in reality, the number is much, much higher. Over just the last few days, northern Gaza continues to be bombed, with the bombs dropping into tents, burning people alive. Last week, the Israeli army sent drones to fire directly into hospitals. There's mass famine and sick and wounded in all of Gaza running out of food. The Israeli army is continuing to evacuate whole regions and then shoot into crowds of people as they evacuate. And this nightmare is being fully backed, funded, and supported by the U.S. government, by Biden and the fascist Trump. And people in this country have a disproportionate responsibility to stand up to stop this. We're going to play a few excerpts from Dr. Hamawi's presentation. During the presentation, Dr. Hamawi showed detailed photos of children wounded and killed by Israeli bombs, shells, and bullets. Out of respect for the dignity of the victims, the audience was asked not to record this part of the presentation, and we won't share them on this show. So we're going to jump around in his presentation, which painted a vivid picture of the reality for Palestinians in Gaza, barely surviving, and many not surviving at all.
I was in Gaza in May of this year. I was there for 3 weeks. And since I've come back, since June till now, I have been constantly doing my best to go and speak to everyone that I can, I'm trying to meet as many people as I can, to tell them about my experience and to tell them about what I saw. When I left to go, like many of my colleagues, because I am one of many, there's now close to 200 doctors and nurses from the United States that have been there some multiple times. And we leave to go to help, to provide care, to be doctors and nurses. But what we found when we came back is it's more than that, that we are also witnesses to what is happening. And that is almost more important than the care that we're providing. Because there's a limitation to information leaving. There are no outside journalists that are allowed to go in. The Palestinian journalists that are inside are being discounted and disregarded, even though they are reporting on the facts and news is getting out, but is being discounted. And there's no third party independent monitors that are there. There's only the humanitarian workers. So while we go and provide care, we have limited resources. We can only do so much without the personnel around us, without the equipment, without the medicine that we need to provide the best care. But what we realized is, again, what we are seeing, that we now have an obligation to come and report it. Now, one thing we realized as soon as we went in is that it was clear that, you know, this is not a safe zone. This was Rafah before the crossing was taken and before it was invaded. There was multiple strikes happening in the area while we were there. We could feel, we could see, we could hear the explosions happening nearby. They were so powerful, they kind of ruffle your clothes and kind of like everything shudders. I mean, this is like a mile or two away, and the impact, you could feel it go through your body. There were drones above us that were buzzing. And when you think of a drone, it's not the little drone you get from Best Buy or Costco. These are drones that are the size of small airplanes. They sound like a lawnmower right outside your front door. I mean, these are loud drones. They get louder at night because they come down lower. During the day, they're higher because they are just, you know, kind of out of like a little bit higher, so it's more difficult to see. And this was 24/7. From the time we entered until the time I left Gaza, you heard them and they were present all the time, multiple drones flying over the hospital, over everywhere you traveled, watching where you are. When you're leaving, they were monitoring our movement and calling us, saying, stop here, wait here, checkpoint. So they are actively being monitored and watching everything that's happening. Next slide. So we talk about the siege and everything that's short. So we know there's a shortage of food. We know there's a shortage of water. We know there's a shortage of medication. There's no antibiotics. There's a limitation on pain medicine. So even with the medicines that we were allowed to take, we weren't allowed to take any narcotics. After surgery, patients were getting Tylenol and Motrin. So think about all the trauma that you're going to see, and the best thing they have is Tylenol or Motrin. We know about the medicine, the water, the food, the medical supplies, the shortages in doctors. And this is the line of trucks leading up to the border. And really for about 40 minutes leading up to the border, you're passing up trucks that are just waiting to go in. On those trucks, there are food that's spoiling, there's medicine that's required, and these are deliberately not being allowed to go through. This was when things were better. This was in May, when things were still crossing at a slow rate through Rafah. Since May 6th, it's even less than that. And the same amount of trucks now are on the Jordanian side to go in. And certain parts of Gaza, like the north of Gaza, is not allowed to have anything go through. And as of this weekend, the Kerem Shalom gate into Gaza has also been limited because the UN can't get anything through there. I was stationed at the European Gaza Hospital. It's in Khan Yunis, which is in the southern part of Gaza. It's right on the border with Rafah. So when they started bombing Rafah, we were right along the edge. So all the evacuation zone came right up to where we were, and we were like the first area that was, quote, clear, even though the hospital itself got like struck right outside. So there was like some buildings directly outside our gate that were struck while we were there. There was also some houses, a doctor and a nurse who lived only like a couple blocks away were killed when their house was struck when I was there. This is what it looked like before. This is like photos like I got from the internet, what it looked like before we got there. You couldn't see this when we were there because all there were tents and people living there. The hospital had about 15,000 to 20,000 refugees living there within the compound, which the compound was the hospital. It had a little warehouse there, and it also had a nursing college. Next slide. This is the emergency room I showed you. Next slide. And then this is inside the hospital. I just give you a sense of what it looks like with families living there. You could push the button, see if we could run this video. So families, both sides, you could see anything. They didn't really have tents. They had sheets and plastic. People were cooking. Kids were running through the halls. People were sleeping. Stairways were also filled. This was shelter for so many families, and this was five-star conditions because most people didn't have a roof on their head. Most people were outside, even outside the compound, along the beach, and just living in the open elements. That was in May. People now living in the open elements in winter time when it's raining, when it's cold. 2 weeks ago, those living along the shore, there was like 40 tents that were flooded and washed away. There's a family that lives close to us in New Jersey, whose relatives, they lost two daughters with that because the waters came and two daughters disappeared and they found them drowned later. So this is what a blast injury does. It burns. It has barotrauma, so it basically disrupts internal organs. It tears off limbs. It flings these bodies sometimes 50, 60 feet away from their homes. So these clearly are not military targets. Many times, like this group, it's usually children playing. So these weren't sleeping, they're playing. These are two parents. Their four children were killed. They were sleeping in their tent. It was at night. They were sleeping in the tent. The woman, her cousin is an OR nurse that works in the hospital. Both end up losing their legs. They had to be amputated. Severe burns, especially for the father, who had burns all over his back as well. He only survived 4 days in the ICU. And she survived another 2 days before she died as well. This was the first day I was there. There's another child that I took care of. Again, traumatic amputation, multiple trauma throughout the body, lung trauma because of the explosion and the barotrauma that occurs from them, burns. He went to the operating room probably 3 or 4 times and did not survive. He had, in the end, maggots growing from his face, maggots growing from the chest tube coming out of them. It's hard to keep everything clean. We don't have enough antibiotics for them. We don't have soap to wash our hands for surgery. There's flies in the ICU and the operating room. These are the conditions that we are working in. And absolutely everything is preventable. Because only 10 miles away, at the most, are the most modern medical facilities that are up to American and Western European standards.
Yeah, the people they won't leave. What is threatening about divesting and wanting peace? The problem isn't the protests, it's what they're protesting. It goes against what our country is funding. Block the barricade until Palestine is free. Block the barricade until Palestine is free. When I was 7, I learned a lesson from Cuban Eazy-E. What was it again? Oh yeah, the police. Actors and badges protecting property in a system that was designed by white supremacy. But the people are in the streets. You could pay off Meta, you can't pay off me. Politicians who serve by any means, AIPAC, Koofy, and all the companies. You see, we sell fear around the land of the free. But this generation here is about to cut the strings. You could ban TikTok, take us out the algorithm. But it's too late, we've seen the truth, we bear witness. Seen the rubble, the buildings, the mothers and the children, and all the men that you murdered. And then we see how you spin it. Who gets the right to defend and who gets the right of resistance? It's always been about dollars and the color of your pigment. But white supremacy is finally on blast, screaming free Palestine to their home at last. We see the lies and claiming it's anti-Semitic to be anti-Zionist. I've seen Jewish brothers and sisters out there and writhing in solidarity and screaming free Palestine with them, organizing and learning and finally cutting ties with the state that's gotta rely on apartheid system to uphold and occupy and violent history been repeating for the last 75. The NECPA never ended, the colonizer lied. It's students in tents posted on the lawn, occupying the quad is really against the law and a reason to call and the police and their squad. Where the genocide land in your definition, huh? Destroying every college in Gaza and every mosque, pushing everyone into Rafah and dropping bombs. The blood is on your hands, Biden, we can see it all. And fuck no, I'm not voting for you in the fall. Undecided, you can't twist the truth. The people out here united, never be defeated when freedom's on the horizon. Yet the music industry's quiet, complicit in their platform of silence. What happened to the artist? What you gotta say? If I was on a label, you could drop me today. I'll be fine with it, cause the heart fed my page. I want a ceasefire, fuck a response from Drake. What you willing to risk? What you willing to give? What if you were in Gaza? What if those were your kids? If the West was pretending that you didn't exist, you want the world to stand up, and the students finally did. Let's get it.
In a few minutes, you're going to hear from Bob Avakian directly. We want to play an excerpt of a dialogue that he did with Cornel West in 2014, Revolution and Religion, the Fight for Emancipation and the Role of Religion. In addition to its profound relevance to the segment we just heard on the role of Israel, We also want to play this excerpt today because it challenges the kind of wrong thinking that has been broadly expressed in response to the assassination of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson. In the wake of this murder, there's been an outpouring of rage against the cruelties that people have been forced to suffer in the healthcare system in this country. A healthcare system which really is an industry set up to make profit, not fundamentally to care for people or meet their needs or cure disease. But along with this understandable outrage has come a great deal of ugly revenge at CEOs overall and a celebration of this assassination. A suspect has now been arrested for Thompson's murder, and he's being held up as a hero. But whatever the motivation of the person who did this, this assassination really has nothing to do with the kind of emancipating transformation of society that's needed. An emancipating, fundamental transformation of society, which can only be brought about through a real revolution, which involves millions of people, not the isolated acts of individuals, but millions of people rising up together to sweep away this whole system and replace its relations and institutions of exploitation and oppression and its putrid culture with ones that are liberating and uplifting. Look, the problem is not individual CEOs or individual corporations, and acting like it is lets the real problem off the hook. The real problem is this system of capitalism imperialism. And unless and until you overthrow capitalism, defeating and dismantling this system state apparatus, seizing state power and replacing it with a radically different state power than nothing, nothing will fundamentally change. And not just for people in this country, but for the millions and millions who are suffering and dying all over the world. And while we're at it, let's stop thinking like Americans. As horrific as healthcare is in this country, and it is, did you know that just since World War II, over 350 million children have died needlessly around the world due to hunger and completely preventable disease? We need to change this for all of humanity. And it's possible. The declaration from the RevComs, we need and we demand a whole new way to live, a fundamentally different system. It lays out a radically different system that can be brought into being through a real revolution. And it speaks explicitly to what would become possible with healthcare to serve the people. Healthcare will not be oriented and distorted to make profit for big medical and pharmaceutical corporations, with the result that great numbers of people cannot afford decent healthcare under the present system. Such corporations will no longer exist. They will be replaced by government-funded healthcare. The purpose of healthcare will be to serve the people and continually develop and apply the science of medicine to meet the medical and health needs of people in society as a whole, in a way that is affordable for the masses of people, with the goal of finally making free, high-quality healthcare available for all. This is possible, and that and so much more is what people need to raise their sights to. And the system in the way of this is where your anger needs to be directed, not to the individual payback, revenge-fueled glee, but to bringing into being a whole different and emancipating system. Raise your sights for people here and all over the world. So now let's go to the excerpt from Bob Avakian. What you're about to see is a hallmark of Bob Avakian's leadership and a concentration of who he is as a person, someone with a bone-deep understanding, not only of the need to overthrow this system through a real revolution, but that the ends don't justify the means, that the means of our revolutionary struggle have to be in line with and serving our liberating goal. Let's watch.
Now, many people, I've had many conversations with people where they say, I need religion just to keep from going off. And I was thinking of a discussion that was held recently with a black youth in Chicago that our party is working closely with. And they got into this question of religion and he said, look, a lot of your arguments are good, but if I didn't have my religion, if I didn't have my belief in God, I would just go try and kill all the white people. Well, if you're looking to me to defend the way too many white people think and act too much of the time, You are looking in the wrong place. But there are problems with the idea of just taking revenge on those who've had a more privileged position. So you have black people and other people of color kill off all the white people. Then I guess all the women kill off all the men. Then all the gay people kill off all the straight people. And we keep going till I don't know who's left. But besides that obvious problem, there's another problem. If you kill all the white people and you still have the same system, you're going to have the horrible situation where a lot of black people start acting like white people. Why? Because you're dealing with a system, and the system shapes things in a certain way. It has certain rules to how it operates, certain dynamics, you could say. And people will be fitted into places and act accordingly as long as you have that system. And the bigger problem, the deeper problem with this whole idea is that we want to get to a world where there are no people who are up and other people who are down, where there are no people who are ruled and other people who are ruled over. Revenge might taste sweet for a minute, but it will not lead to a world in which we just keep going through the same cycle that these ones are up and those are down and those are down want to get off with those who are up so then they can put them down and we keep the whole cycle going. No. We want to get beyond all that. That's what we have to be about. And there's a very important example, negatively, that we should all learn from in the state of Israel. The experience of Jewish people throughout centuries in Europe and other places of being bitterly discriminated against and viciously persecuted for centuries, and then under the rule of the Nazis during the time of World War II, being literally exterminated, with 6 million annihilated by the Nazis, certainly ranks at the very top in the whole history of crimes against humanity. But in response to this, among Jewish people, including those who survived that Holocaust, there have been two different and opposite responses. One is never again. Never again must this happen to any people anywhere. But the other is, because of what has been done to our people, anything we do from now on is justified. And so you find them founding the state of Israel on the basis of bloodthirsty ethnic cleansing of the Palestinian people who lived there, which is now reaching genocidal proportions. No, our answer has to be the first. Never again shall this happen to any people, anywhere. We need to move to a world beyond all that.
All right, so that was Bob Avakian 10 years ago. And every single thing you just saw in that excerpt, it holds up, every word of it. I mean, these are questions that are pressing on people today, not just here, but all over the world. And it is really striking. If you go through Bob Avakian's work over decades and decades, you see somebody who has been tirelessly, with principle, with integrity, with intellectual rigor, and with a heart for humanity, going at the biggest questions of why people are facing the conditions they're in. What is the source of the problem? What would it take to overthrow this system that's at the source of the problem? What's holding people back from getting into this revolution? What's dividing the people? What's catching them up and thinking in the terms of this system? And frankly, in terms that keep them degraded and oppressed and enslaved. He's working on questions not only of how we can make a revolution, but very far-sighted questions most people are not even haven't even thought about thinking about. How would you build a whole new society? How would you keep a revolutionary society moving forward and not turning into and being held back by the birthmarks and the imprints of the system you're coming out of? How would you actually get all the way to full emancipation for humanity here and all over the world? And over decades and decades of struggle, of work, of commitment, of sacrifice, Bob Avakian has forged what we call a new communism, a whole new framework for human emancipation. And it shines through in that excerpt, some of it. And it's a profound thing for all of humanity. This is a very big deal.
Yeah. And the significance of this voice, of this leader, is exactly why we're in the middle of this big campaign all across the country to get Bob Avakian's voice and leadership in front of literally millions and millions of people. Because part of the challenge is everything you're describing. He's fighting with people to do that work themselves, too, to build a movement of far-sighted revolutionaries that are determined to overthrow this system and really bring that whole new world into being. But that's not going to happen if millions and millions and millions of people are not following and taking up this leadership. So he's providing that through his social media very regularly, these audio messages. And this campaign is aimed at raising serious funds to pay for online advertising and an on-the-ground movement, grassroots, to spread this leadership, both because the messages themselves really matter, what we opened the show with, you hear it, but also not just that, but also to project the whole leader, the whole person that we have in Bob Avakian, because really is make or to break it in terms of whether there's going to be a radically different world and a radically different system at a moment where it's so urgent.
Yeah, if you think about what we're facing with a fascist regime that has now been elected, they're already acting like they're in power. But when they actually assume the levers of power, they are promising a shock and awe approach. Roundups day one, end birthright citizenship day one. Trump just appointed a new fascist raving genocidal asshole who said they're not doing enough infrastructure destruction in Gaza. We need much more of it. This is going to be a nightmare for humanity. And something very crucial to understand, something that Bob Avakian has been hammering at in his messages at Bob Avakian Official, is the fascists in this country, they can take initiative. They're on the offensive because everything they're fighting for, the white supremacy, the male supremacy, the bigoted America first, you know, my country right or wrong, chauvinism, the anti-immigrant, all of the stuff that they're fighting for is realizable under this system because it conforms to the laws and the rules and dynamics of this system. And they're unleashed because they have a section of the ruling class who is pushing their foot on the accelerator to lock this fascism into place. And in contrast, the decent people in this country, and there are millions and tens of millions of them, what they want, an end to this white supremacy, an end to the patriarchy, an end to the environmental destruction, all the things that decent people care about, they cannot be realized under this system. And there is no section of the rulers who will fight for those things and who will unleash them to fight for them. So unless and until these decent people start thinking and acting outside and beyond the terms of this system, this fascism is going to have the initiative to great peril for humanity. And Bob Avakian's voice is unique. Unique in this country, unique on the planet, in enabling people to scientifically see beyond this system, to act outside of this system, to dream and to fight for something that is so much bigger than themselves and so needed right now. And so this, yes, people need to stand up. Yes, people need defiance, everything we talked about at the beginning of the show. But they need this leader and this leader's voice being heard and engaged in shaping the thinking of millions right now in a very urgent way.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking, I think, very well about the profound need right now and very timely. I mean, we don't have that much time to prevent the locking in of this fascism that you're talking about. But also with that, there's the heightened potential. I mean, look, one of the criteria for making a revolution is that the adherence, the things that hold people to have allegiance to this system gets broken in the millions and millions. And we're not there yet. But there is, because the promises and the viciousness and the the ugliness of this fascism is so out there, is so bald, is so in people's faces. It has the potential to break the hold and the ways in which people have been shaped to accept the rule of this system. Now, it's not going to happen spontaneously. That is where Bob Avakian's voice comes in to actually break that. But there is a loosening. And there is a way that people are being forced to question things that they would not otherwise question, forced to question things that they would normally accept. And you see that actually in some of the openness to the RevComs in a different kind of way. It's not that most people are like, oh, I want to sign up for your revolution tomorrow. Revolution is radical. But there is in the very drasticness of the fascists, everything you listed, but there's also the way in which Trump is continuing to go after his counterparts among the rulers of this system. This is all outside of the norms that people have come to accept, people. So in all of that, but also in the fact that the Democrats, that the decent people are being told to rely on, are telling them to find common ground with this. In all of that is the potential in a different kind of way for millions of people to have new ears for this message. And that means that those of you watching this have to go out and fight hard. Get into Bob Avakian more deeply yourself and go fight hard with people to get into this themselves and to donate to spreading it and to be part of themselves raising funds to spread this.
We've got some time left, so I'd like to play this.
Trump and Netanyahu, Nazi madmen on a mission of destruction. This is Bob Avakian, Revolution, number 110. With the fall of the Assad regime in Syria, Israel, headed by Benjamin Netanyahu, has extended its military aggression in Syria, on top of the genocide it is carrying out against the Palestinian people and the massive slaughter and destruction it has continued to commit in Lebanon. Nuremberg for Netanyahu. After the defeat of Nazi Germany in World War II in 1945, the victors in that war carried out Nuremberg trials of Nazis. The city of Nuremberg had been the site of massive Nazi rallies during the period of fascist rule in Germany in the 1930s and the first part of the 1940s. The head Nazi, Adolf Hitler, committed suicide and so avoided those trials. But other high-ranking Nazis were tried and convicted. As I spoke to in message number 5, what a terrible, ironic twist of history. For centuries, Jews were subjected to horrendous atrocity, and this reached its most terrible dimensions in the Holocaust, when millions of Jews were murdered by the Nazis during World War II. But then Israel was founded and has been maintained as a Zionist Jewish supremacist state on the basis of bloody oppression of the Palestinian people. This is why I have made the provocative but profoundly true statement. After the Holocaust, the worst thing that has happened to Jewish people is the state of Israel. Recently, the International Criminal Court issued an arrest warrant for Netanyahu in light of his genocidal crimes against the Palestinian people. For now, Netanyahu has escaped judgment and punishment, in large part because cover and protection has been provided for him, along with massive military aid by the Biden-Harris administration. But to the people of the world, Netanyahu's genocidal crimes have been fully exposed. And however long he escapes accountability, Netanyahu and others responsible for this genocide fully deserve their own Nuremberg trials. Trump MAGA fascism prepares for further extremes in supporting Israel's genocide against the Palestinian people. among other things. This is shown by Trump's nominee for U.S. ambassador to Israel, Mike Huckabee. Huckabee is a fanatical Christian fascist lunatic who refuses to recognize the existence of Palestine and the Palestinian people. This fits perfectly with and represents even greater criminal monstrosity in backing Israel's genocidal slaughter of the Palestinian people. Christian fascists like Huckabee believe that the second coming of Jesus can happen only when Israel incorporates and directly rules all the territory of Palestine as a Jewish state. Huckabee's genocidal position is a telling representation of the fundamental unity between Trump MAGA fascism and the terrible reality of Israeli present-day Nazism. All this is occurring in the context of dangerously heightening conflict, not just the warfare driven by Israel with U.S. backing in the Middle East, but in the world as a whole, with the growing danger of even more devastating war, including the possibility of nuclear war involving the U.S., Russia, and China. And all this has been accompanied by a severe wave of repression, especially on college campuses in this country, moving to shut down campus protest, cutting campuses off from the rest of society, and outlawing and punishing criticism and opposition to the genocide being carried out by Israel and the backing of this by the U.S. As a veteran of the free speech movement on the UC Berkeley campus in 1964, I can readily recognize that the situation on college campuses today is even more repressive than what we faced then. And there is a need for massive defiance and active challenging of this severe repression. Repression which, among other things, makes a mockery of free speech and academic freedom, revealing the actual dictatorship that is the essential reality of capitalist democracy. Trump MAGA fascism aims to make all this more openly and aggressively monstrous. To repeat this crucial point from message number 105, drawing from Hope for Humanity on a Scientific Basis, available at revcom.us, while capitalist dictatorship in any form is very oppressive of the masses of people and needs to be overthrown, an overt fascist dictatorship will mean that the oppression, atrocity, plunder, and destruction that is built into this system will be carried out more openly and aggressively, without the usual pretense of rights for the people or concern for the environment. Next important message. We RevComs are serious, and all decent people need to be serious about actually defeating this Trump MAGA fascism.
And that brings us to the end of another show here at the Michael Slate Show. I'd like to thank Andy Z and everybody at the Revolution Nothing Less Show, my assistant producer, Henry Carson, and all of you for tuning in. And again, check out the RevComs on YouTube at youtube.com/TheRevComs and follow at Bob Avakian Official on all your social media platforms. And remember, the problem is not human nature, it is the nature of the system. Through a real revolution, a better world is possible. My name is Sansara Taylor. I'll talk to you again next week.
One, two, three. Well, you better listen, my sisters and brothers, 'cause if you do, you can hear their voices still calling across the years. And they're all crying across the ocean, and they're crying across the land, and they will too, we all come to understand. None of us are free. None of us are free. None of us are free. One of us are chained. None of us are free. And there are people still in darkness, and they just can't see the light. If you don't say it's wrong, then that says it's right. We got to try to feel for each other. Let our brothers know that we care. Got to get the message, send it out loud and clear. None of us are free. None of us are free. None of us are free. One of us are chained. None of us are free. It's a single truth we all need, just to hear and to see. None of us are free. Isn't too hard to find. None of us can find it on our own.